book called Borrowed Offenses. If you've not read it, you ought to get a copy of it and read that book. It's a pretty easy read. It's a toe stomper. But one of the things that we need to look at is sometimes we need to talk about offenses, because it's very easy sometimes for us to become offended. Somebody say something to us, somebody say something about us, and it offends us. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where we pick up somebody else's offense. Now, here's the scenario. Let's say that Ricky Jones says something ugly about Jason Ramsey. And Jason Ramsey comes to me and he says, "Do you know what Ricky Jones did?" I said, "No, what did he do?" "Well, he did and he said and he did and this and that and that. And all of a sudden, I'm upset with Ricky Jones. Now, do I know the whole story? I don't know what Jason Ramsey said to Ricky Jones. I just know what Ricky Jones was supposed to have said to Jason Ramsey. And he's upset, and all of a sudden, I borrow his offense, and now I'm upset. Now, I want to give you a dictionary definition of offense. I mean, borrowed. To borrow. To take and use something that belongs to someone else with the intention of returning it. Now, let's put that in the terms of borrowed offense. I take something that was intended for someone else, and then when I get a chance, you know what I do? I return the offense. Next time I see Ricky, I avoid him. Or I say something to him. Or I'm mad at him. And let's say that I have the opportunity to do something for him, to bless him. But if I'm offended at him, I don't do it. I don't do it. Why? Because I have borrowed the offense. Now, does that happen? Let me give you another scenario. Your child comes home from school and says, "Mama, that teacher treated me bad in class today." And you get on your high horse and you get your husband and you call your lawyer and you go to that school and you think, "I'm going to straighten this out. I'm going to straighten that teacher out. I'm going to sue. I'm going to wow, wow." I mean, you get over there and then you hear the rest of the story. Remember the rest of the story? And what your child represented to you was not exactly the truth. It was only one side of the truth. And it was skewed in their favor. Do you think that ever happens? I know that's happened. I've had parents tell me, "You know, I got so upset and I went to school and my child just made a fool out of me." Because they had done something that deserved to be corrected or punished. That's called a borrowed offense. Now, I like them. I like this because when we are offended, what does it do to us? Who does it hurt? We hurt ourselves. Now, I want to read a scripture. This one is found in Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirs up strife. Now that hatred may be because of an offense, but it could be because of a borrowed offense. I heard what somebody said about somebody else, and now I'm upset with them because what I perceive to be the truth. We take things at face value and we are offended. And what does it do to us? It causes hatred to come into our heart. Maybe hatred is a little strong. Maybe resentment. Maybe anger. It may be a whole lot of negative emotions. But what do I do to my ministry potential when I act that way towards somebody where I have borrowed an offense? And I have hard feelings toward that person. You know what I do? I put myself in jail. I put myself in jail where that person is concerned. I ensnare my own self where that is concerned. Now, the last part of this verse says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. What are we called to walk in? Love. What is our natural inclination? Suspicion, believing everything that we, you know, that we're told, and all of these kind of things. See, I heard that I have a friend, and I don't want to get too specific because this is pretty fresh. But I have, and it's not anybody here, so I wonder who he's talking about. None of your business. Just listen to the story and quit being so cotton picking inquisitive about everything. Okay? But this friend has kind of got himself in a mess. And there's a lot of rumors floating around about my friend. And I hear some of them. And there's a lot of negativity going on about him. And I found myself the other day thinking, well, if he did that, then he deserved what he gets. Now, what have I heard? Rumors. Have I asked him any of that? No. But I'm allowing my emotions and my judgment to get involved in a situation on something that I haven't even heard the truth about. And that is the beginning of the snare that the enemy will use in our heart. Now, if he does, you know, he does that in families. He does that in business, on the job. He does that in churches. He does that in so many different ways. And if we're not careful, we buy in to the things that we hear. And we set ourselves up for an offense. A borrowed offense. And that may be the worst kind. You remember the story of the Hatfields and the McCoys? You know, they really didn't know what they were fighting over. Now, the original ones probably knew what they were fighting about. But it went on generation after generation after generation. And nobody knew what they were fighting about. You know what happened to the next generation? It's called borrowed offense. Borrowed offense. I heard Vic Porter telling a story about this. Because the Bible says that the sins of the fathers are visited to the third and fourth generation. He had a man and wife come into his study. He pastored up here in Yellville for several years ago. And this man came in. They came in for marriage counseling. And as he got into the marriage counseling, he found out that the husband had been slapping the wife around. He's been physically abusive with her. And when Vic began to confront him about it, he was a little abrasive about it. And Vic had some insight into his life that he had a problem with authority. And what had happened was, and Vic said this to him. He says, "Let me tell you what happened. Your daddy used to beat your mama." And he broke down and began to cry. The strife between his father and mother, the offense between that father and mother, that young man took up. And he said to myself, "I will never treat my family that way." But you know what? He did not know how to process all of that. And he was easy fodder for the enemy because he took that offense into his own heart. He became resentment towards authority. And when it arose in his marriage, he struck out at his wife and he beat her. That's a borrowed offense. See, it affects families. It affects generations. It affects, you see it in the workplace. You see it in churches. You see it in all kinds. You see it separate brothers and friends and all kind of things. And it's nothing but borrowed offenses. Borrowed offenses. Proverbs 18:19 says, "A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. And contentions are like the bars of a castle." So what happens when we are in contention with someone? It's like bars of a castle. It binds our own soul. Listen, you cannot walk in the love of God and in contention at the same time. And when you are contentious, you will not make good decisions in life. Have you ever tried to make a decision when you're mad? You know what kind of decisions that you make? What happens when you make decisions when you're hurt? When you're lonely? When you lack? A lot of times we make decisions out of wrong things because we're not walking connected to God. We're not walking in fellowship with God. And we're making poor decisions because our heart, our soul, is like it's behind the bars of a castle. We're not giving place to the love of God. God's love is not ruling in our heart. It's not the umpire of our heart because of a borrowed offense or an offense, we have shut it out and we don't want to hear. See, I've noticed something about children. I've raised three. And there's sometimes in your eyes your child can do no wrong. And then there's times when he gets on your nerves, he can do no right. It doesn't matter what he does, it's just not right. It fluctuates. Those you can't live that way. You cannot live. You got to live by principle, not by emotion. And when we do that, we get all messed up. Now let me start bringing this down. Matthew 18:7 says, "Woe to the world because of offenses. For offenses must come, but woe to the man by whom the offenses come." Can I tell you something about God? He hates offense. He hates offense. You know, there's the Bible talks about several things that God hates. And one of them is he who sows discord among the brethren. God hates that. He hates for people to sow discord among people. I know that this happens in churches. In fact, I got to be very careful how I speak. But there are churches that pastors are dealt with differently. Some pastors are, the congregation votes on them and puts them in and they never vote on them again. The church that I was raised in, they sent you your preacher and they took him away the way they wanted to. But there are some of them that the pastor is elected for like a 4-year term or a 5-year term or a 6-year term. And every 4 years, the congregation votes on whether they're going to keep him or not. And I have known in instances, and this is more than one, that on that year that the pastor comes up for election, that you have people in the congregation that begin to stir strife. Maybe that preacher got on their toes. Or maybe that preacher didn't tell them what they wanted to hear. Maybe he did not do something for them that they wanted him to do. And they got offended. So what do? They begin to stir the pot. I tell you what, our pastor is not very compassionate. You know, he's a little bit snobby. I walked through the foyer the other day and he walked right by me and didn't say a word to me. He's the reason our church is not growing. And they start talking this and they start putting blocks of people together. And I said, what we need to do is just vote him out and get us a new one. Can I tell you what that is? That is borrowed offenses. I want to say that I believe that those kind of church governments are totally unscriptural. I just believe they are. I've been on one end of that before, and it was not good. It was not fun. See, we all have chances to be offended. And here's the reason that we have chances to be offended. Number one, people are not perfect. Did you know that? I got a revelation for you today. You're not perfect. And I got a bigger one than that. I'm not perfect. And I may disappoint you. I may do something that you didn't think I should do. So what we have to decide is, are we going to allow hatred to stir strife? Are we going to allow love to cover sin, shortcoming? Now, when you mess up, and you do, do you want grace or do you want judgment? Huh? Does anybody, grace, isn't that what we want? Don't we want people to show us mercy when we make mistakes or we just blow it? Or do we want to be ostracized? Well, let me ask you another question then. Are you willing to give that to other people when they mess up? And if you're not willing to give that to other people, then you're going to be a prime candidate for an offense and maybe the stirrer of borrowed offenses. And you know what God says? Woe to those who are the ones who bring those offenses. God hates discord among the brothers. He hates it in families. He hates it on the job site. He just hates it. Because, you know, the Bible depicts the body of Christ as many members making up one body. We have heads, we have eyes, we have ears, we have noses and mouths and legs and feet and arms and hands. And so what is the purpose of the body? Every part of that physical body works in harmony with the rest of the body to do the function of the body. But what happens if you've got borrowed offenses within that body, and you got part of that body supplying and the rest of and another part of that body resisting? Is that a good situation? Will the body work in harmony? Will the body be able to do what it's supposed to do if we are in that attitude? No. That's why God hates those things, because we cannot fulfill our purpose as a church, even as a business or whatever, as a family. We cannot be what we're supposed to be when we allow offense to get involved with us. Now, I get people mad at me from time to time. I can't imagine that. I try to be a lovely guy. I try to be easy to get along with. But I'm not perfect. And you know, I've said some things to people that I've got quoted on and got quoted out of context. And all of a sudden, I got some folks mad at me. And I'm thinking, what's going on with this? And when it gets back to me, it's skewed. It's skewed from what it's supposed to be in. Maybe I didn't choose to help somebody. Maybe I'd helped them 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 times before. Maybe I helped them big one time and I wasn't able to help them the next time, or chose not to for some reason to help them the next time. And they go out and say, you know what? I thought your church was a giving church. I went and they wouldn't help me. And you think, well, he's been a hypocrite. No, what you've just done is borrowed someone's offense. See, you better be glad that I don't help everybody that comes down the pike, because we wouldn't be able to turn the lights on. We wouldn't be able to make the building fund payment, because when, you know, That's just a fact of life. If you've ever been on this side of it and have to deal with that, it can be very trying because people need help. And we want to help people. But you just can't help everybody. And you have to practice stewardship. And sometimes you say no. Or sometimes you say, I can't right now. And people get offended. And they try to pass that on to somebody else. And see, here's what happens when that begins to do. If let's say that you get offended at somebody. Maybe you're in a church, or maybe in this church, or this has happened in a lot of churches, that for some reason they get offended at the church and they withdraw from the church. Well, what happens when we withdraw and we get isolated? We're easy prey for the enemy. And what happens is, let's say that this person has trouble with authority, and I just don't like the way you dictate in your church. I don't like the way you preach, and you preach. I mean, you just, who gives you the right to do that? And you just have an authority problem, so you withdraw from the church. Remember, we said that the sins of the fathers are visited to the next generation. So, what happens in the children? If you rebel against authority, or whatever your offense is, your child will take that offense on. And they will rebel against authority, but the authority that they rebel against will be your authority. Not the church's, your authority. Whatever you do, good or bad, your kids are going to do. Whatever attitude that you allow in your house, your kids are going to have that with more passion, good or bad. We cannot afford borrowed offenses. Now, let me end with this. See, offense is a seed. You know how offense happens? It happens with words. Words are seeds. When you speak something that's offensive, or you repeat an offense out of your mouth, you are throwing out a seed. See, I'm putting out seed this morning. It's called the Word of God. That's good seed. But there are some people who spit out seed, and it's not good seed. It's the seed of offense. What does that seed need to find in order to grow? Huh? Ground. It needs to find ground in which to grow. Well, according to the Bible, where is that ground? It's our hearts. It's our hearts. So the offense is a seed, and it's seeking ground. It's looking for ground. And it has to have that in order to grow. You decide whether that you're going to allow that seed into the ground of your heart or not. If you allow that seed in the ground of your heart, what is that seed going to produce? It produces after its own kind. It will produce offense. You will take on that offense. And here's what happens. Your life follows your heart. I want you to think about this a minute. Your life follows your heart. In fact, everything about you follows your heart. Whatever you allow in your heart, that's what your life follows. Even your words follow your heart. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the what? The mouth speaks. If you are full of offense, it's going to come out of your mouth, and you are going to, your course of life is going to follow that offense. And you know what comes out of your mouth will be a seed. It gets back into the ground of your heart. It produces again. The offense gets bigger. Have you ever meditated on an offense for a while? Have you ever allowed an offense to just brew and brew and brew and brew and stew on the inside of you? And the longer you think about it, the madder you get. And it gets more distorted and more distorted and more distorted. What is that? That's the law of seed time and harvest. You're germinating and you're producing it over, and you talk about it and you talk about it. That's all you talk about. You know, I just hate that person. You're sowing that back into the ground of your heart, and it's taking root and it's producing after its own kind, and you're getting a multiplication of that thing. It's called offense. And you'll pass that on to everybody around you that'll listen. Well, it's quiet in this Methodist church. We're not Methodists. I'm kidding. Last scripture, Proverbs 4:23. I love this verse. I use it a lot. I usually use it talking about the Word of God. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. That's what I've just been saying. Above all that you guard, guard your heart, for it determines the course of your life. If you want a healthy life, if you want a good life, you're going to have to choose what you allow in the heart, because the heart will produce whatever you allow in it. If you put lust in there, lust is coming out. If you put strife in there, strife is coming out. If you put contention in there, contention is coming out. If you put the Word of God in there, the Word of God will come out. And that'll be the course of your life. You'll live a principle-driven life. But if not, you'll be thrown by every wind of emotion that comes along. These feelings of strife that come back again and again and again. And you'll think you're over it, and something will happen, and it'll just start it all over again. Have you got... Don't answer. Just answer yourself. Have you got barred offenses in your life today? If you do, you need to deal with them. They control your life. If you have offenses in your life today, you need to deal with them, because they control the course of your life. See, if you can keep your heart free and pure in the love of God, that will control your life. The Word of God in the heart, faith works by love, and you'll have the love of God, you'll have the faith of God, your course will be much clearer, you'll make good decisions. But when you're all messed up, you don't make good decisions. When your heart's full of hate, you don't make good decisions. When you're ruled by your emotions, and that's what hate becomes. It's a spiritual force, but it produces an emotion. Strife produces a negative emotion. And when you allow that in there, it rules. You become soulish. You're not being a spiritual man. You're being a very soulish man. I'm going to ask my prayer team to come. I really feel like God is speaking to some hearts today. I'm not here to judge you. It's my responsibility to tell you the truth. It's your responsibility to choose what you're going to do with it. You know in your heart if this hit home or not. Maybe you're here today and you have some issues that you need to pray about and deal. Maybe just somebody you need to let go. Maybe you need to repent of some borrowed offenses in your life. Maybe you have allowed the opinions and the gossip of other people to shape the way that you see certain people. It could be a family member. It could be somebody that you work with. It could be me. It could be somebody in the church. It could be the church. But you've allowed somebody's offense to control what you believe. And that's not right. Maybe you're here today and you need to make Jesus Lord of your life. You need to invite Him into your life and turn your life over to Him today. As we begin to pray, we want you to just come. Nobody's going to judge you. This will be confidential. Father God, in Jesus' name, speak to the hearts of people today. Draw them by your love into a place of freedom. Lord God, there are people here today that need to be let out of jail. the jail of the emotions of offenses. Draw them to you. Those that don't know you today, draw them to you that they might know you as Lord and Savior. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come?